Okay, good morning, Anthony. How are you this morning?
Yeah, good, Lena. Good to be here.
Yeah, I'm really grateful to have you here. Would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a bit about you?
Yeah, sure. Look, as you know, I've always had an interest in mindset and how to improve our minds to achieve the things we want to achieve in life. So, I've had the fortune of a fairly wide experience in my life. I worked for a corporation in the early years as a real estate agent and property valuer. And then I moved and worked with a charity for 3 years and then started my own business, probably has been for the last 10 years. But I think my interest in mindset really started in the corporate days when. As a young person, we're all hungry for success, and it's like we want it today. And so during those years, I actually looked at some of the most successful business people around me, and I realized that it wasn't necessarily more knowledge or experience, but how they applied their mindset. They were a lot more tenacious, they were a lot more focused, they had a lot of energy. Enormous amount of discipline, and nothing was going to shake them. So that's when I started to learn meditation and positive thinking, and I applied three things in that period of my life. I just was very focused on what I wanted to achieve. Like I wanted to buy a property, I wanted to be a director of the company, and I wanted to travel with the company and be posted overseas. So I thought, how am I going to do this? So I joined a meditation group, taught positive thinking. And I think within 5 years, I became a director and I achieved all my goals at the age of 29. And I don't say that because I'm boasting, but that's when I knew that the power of the mindset and how you develop it and manage it is very important in our lives.
So much valuable information in what you just said, because some people just talk about it and have never experienced it, and you have all experienced it, and you can just be like, okay, great, I have. So what happened when you achieved that all?
I mean, in those early years, I mean, those goals are very materialistic or hedonistic, as you know. And in those younger years, we think that's the answer to happiness. But I had enough of the corporate life, and I was always very driven. And I suppose I don't know why. I feel that when I looked at a lot of people that have been driven, it's usually something that they're not satisfied about themselves, something that they're harboring, whether it's a chip on their shoulder or they're trying to prove something. But for me, I never really knew what it was. But so I had a major change. I worked for a charity then for 3 years, and that was completely different. There was no control, there was no rigidity. And that tested me a lot because I was very much a person that liked routine and was very planned during the day. But the person that was running this charity was like, oh, okay, what are we going to do today? Let's just have an open discussion, no real aims or goals. So that was quite challenging, but tested me in another way. And then I set my own business up after working with them for 3 years. And I suppose I had a major downturn back in 2010 when it felt like my whole world had collapsed. And that's probably the greatest experience that I can honestly say that I've received out of my whole lifetime was that breakdown, if you could call it a breakdown, which lasted for about 1.5 years.
And yeah, thanks so much for sharing this. Why do you think that peak point came? Because you achieved everything and you couldn't achieve more, or was it more like that you burnt yourself out completely on maybe expecting too much from yourself? Or yeah, do you want to share what happens in your body, mind, and soul?
Yeah. I think it's a good question because a lot of people think that, there is, there has to be a reason that you must be able to define, but I couldn't define it. It was like it could have been childhood bullying that I was harboring inside, and I was always driven to try to prove myself. But you know what? Trying to confuse yourself to try to find out the reason can sometimes cause greater pain and resistance. So I'll never forget the night before it happened. I was supposed to be going on a holiday with my partner at that time for about 5 days. And I remember that this stress started to come up in me, and I don't know where it was from. And it felt like something clicked in my mind, and I felt down a deep, dark hole. And during that five-day holiday period, I was an absolute zombie. I had no energy. I couldn't really put a sentence together. I was totally out of it, and I couldn't explain it. And all I wanted to do was get home, take a sleeping tablet, and sleep it off. But when I came back, it was the start of probably the most horrendous journey of my life for the next 1.5 years, because I experienced massive panic attacks. I was getting dizzy spells, stabbing pains in the stomach, and I was getting a maximum of 2 to 3 hours sleep a night. So you can imagine that everything that I'd built up completely fallen apart. And this happens to a lot of people. I'm not saying it was, you know, worse than anyone else in me, but I can honestly say that suicidal thoughts were constantly there because I couldn't live like that. It was impossible.
Yeah, it's interesting how you say this, because it's like, you know, how do we approach this situation when you feel that way? And I guess if you have been in a position like that before, you try to figure out what's the cause, what's the reason, why do I feel that way? But you might not find it, and then you have to still move on from it, and then it happens again and again and again that you feel that way. So how continued your journey? Like, how did you pretty much help yourself or try to figure out what you could do to feel better?
Yeah, so I basically was trying to control it with my mind and my past knowledge of positive thinking, meditation, and that in fact made it worse. And so my family was quite concerned about me. So I went to see psychiatrists, psychologists, and they just took me down a medical path. And at one stage, I was on about 4 types of drugs. And this really made me worse. And I'm not saying that drugs are bad. I'm not giving any medical advice, but for me, they certainly didn't assimilate with my system. And all I could think of in those days was, this doesn't feel right taking the particular medicine. So just as a psychiatrist kept prescribing more medication, I actually made a decision that I know my body better than anyone else. How is someone outside of me know what's going on inside of me? So I actually took my power back, and I actually started to stop the drugs without the knowledge of the psychiatrist. That was the first thing, that I took my power back. And in conjunction with that, I stopped trying to work it out with my mind, because it's obviously something that's out of balance in our particular body. And our bodies are very intelligent. As soon as something's out of balance, you will feel dis-ease, just like I was, a mental dis-ease. So I had to actually clear out an emotion that was trapped inside of me. So the very first thing that I practiced, and I only knew this when I got out of it 2 or 3 years later, I looked back and I thought, what did I actually do? Because you really don't know at the time. And the very first step was I surrendered. And surrender doesn't mean you put the white flag up and you give your life up and say, that's it, I want to die. It meant that I let go of the mind. I let go of all the concepts and theories of trying to control it and just had faith that my body has a higher intelligence. So the problem today is we're very impatient. We want to take tablets, pills, we want an answer now. And so that was the very first practice I did. And there were three main keys. And I can honestly say surrender was the most powerful in that I can't control this. My mind is very limited. There's a higher intelligence out there. Why have I got such an ego to block that out and think that I know better? So I completely opened myself up.
How does surrendering feel? Because I think often we talk about all like words, you know, it's same if you say, oh, love someone or let go. But sometimes if you have never experienced this, you know, it's really hard to, how do I love? If I never felt love, what is the feeling? Yeah. And I think it's like, can you share maybe a little bit on like, how does it feel? How do you go there to, you know, become aware of, okay, this is how I feel and I surrendered wholly to this situation. How did you go there?
That's a very, very good question. So I think the first thing is the opposite of surrender is control. It's a bit like hanging on to something and thinking that you know best, that you have the path, that you have the solution and the answer, and you're going to fight and you're going to resist and persist to follow a particular routine or path. Surrender is saying, I don't know. I let go. I don't have any of those thoughts of control. I simply allow them to come and float away and then get more into a feeling mode instead of a logic and reason mode. So it's transferring from the head, and I think you do this very well anyway, Lena, and come back to the heart and then get used to the language of feeling. Not the language of words and concepts and theories that are trying to hijack my mind.
Yeah, beautiful explanation. Because I think it's really valid that, so you know, we understand this and share this, because these days there's so many words around, and sometimes like,
yeah,
you need to feel this, or someone needs to explain to you how to do that, because obviously you don't know, otherwise you would have possibly done it already, you know. And so thank you so much, that was beautiful. And yeah, so what was your second I wanted to go one step before again, because I would like to ask you, how does it actually feel to get a panic attack? What happens there? And also, if you feel depressed, like can you just say or share a few words on how that actually feels for oneself?
Yeah, I think panic attacks just means that you freeze completely. I'll never forget one occasion when I was driving on the freeway to meet someone, and all of a sudden this fear came over me, and I had to pull over because my fists were clenched, my heart was beating at a very high rate, and I couldn't think clearly. I was completely frozen and stuck in fear, and it's paralyzing, okay? So no amount of thinking is going to get you out of that. You have to then get back into your body and say, okay, how can I relax my body as a start, because the mind's not going to work because it's just stuck in fear. So that's when I rang my brother, and he just told me to breathe deeply and connect with my body rather than being caught up in the fearful thoughts that trap you into this situation. So that was one thing about panic attacks, is that it starts in the mind first, and it's imagination of a particular fear taking over your whole physiology. and therefore you actually can't operate, you can't move, you can't even think straight. But for depression for me, I don't think I was depressed.
Okay.
I think I was just disheartened and confused. And most doctors will call it depression because they don't have any other word for it. We all experience things and downturns in emotions in different ways. But for me, it was like, how long is this going to last? I can't live like this. This is just not the way life should be. And then that led to extreme sadness, disappointment, and almost giving up. So I suppose the depression came after, the uncertainty of what was going on.
Yeah, thank you for giving insight of that kind of feeling. So you said step one was to surrendering. What was your second step?
Well, during that period, I was seeing a lot of alternative healers, and I realized that, you know, some of them are quite opportunistic in that they'll take advantage of vulnerable people. So I had a lot of bad experiences as well as psychiatrists. So there was one particular lady who I came across, and she was an intuitive healer. And straight away I felt she could tune in with my energy. And this might sound a bit strange to, you know, a normal person, but we are energetic beings. We're electromagnetic beings. We're not just flesh and bones. And she could connect with me. And she said a couple of things which still stick in my mind. And she said, Anthony, you have chosen to go through this experience. And then she said, when you get through this, you will be helping a lot of other people. And that completely changed perspective. So the second point was perception. I completely changed my view of this particular illness to something that I could actually help and have a goal that was bigger than me. So instead of focusing in on me, I opened myself up and saw an entirely different meaning in this. And that was for the first time I could feel a bit of energy spark inside me. And more particularly when she said, when you get out of this, a lot of the psychiatrists were saying, you're going to be like this forever. Mm. It was like they were condemning me. And she gave me this amazing hope. And when you think of it, life is all about perception. What you see in the world is what you're going to feel. So, you know, you decide whether you want to see the weeds or the flowers, the dark or the light, or you want to see a problem and a burden, or you want to see an opportunity. So perception had changed, which actually opened me up to actually feel a different energy, a more open energy.
So did that help you also to deepen your connection with yourself more and your feelings? So could you just, because I think it's great you did this like hand openness just then, and I was like, I wonder where that was the moment where you also were like, okay, now, you know, I just like open and I can let go.
Yeah, very much so. It's just that we think we control everything in life, and you know, we think that the mind is what drives everything in life. And of course, the mind is important, as I said before, but it's a good manager, but it's not a good leader. The greatest leader is your heart. And slowly but surely, I was coming back to what resonated with me, what had meaning for me. And that's a feeling thing. And that's only comes when exactly what you said is when you open, you let go of the mind and give it a rest and just have faith as to what feels right inside of your heart, your body, your soul, whatever you want to call it, and then allowing that to flourish, open and unfold in its own natural way. So sure, it was an opening, absolutely.
Yeah, it's so beautiful to feel, even if it's not the great feelings, the good and the bad. But yeah, I just wanted to say also, it's really amazing sometimes how even words and a perception of another person towards you and about you can change so much your life. And I guess it's sadly sometimes a journey to find that, but I feel when someone really has a true connection, that, as you said, an intention on, you know, really truly want to help people to become better, or it's so valuable and so, you know, powerful, because obviously you have come out better out of the situation and you have learned a lot from it, but you can say that yourself. but I think it's really important to also, you know, seek help, but sometimes it might also take some time, but there's like hope to find that, and how powerful words can be, specifically for the mind. So what was your third step?
Well, the third step was, you know, I used to just sit under a tree for hours and just surrender and feel the energy of what that particular intuitive healer said, and let my imagination run wild as to how I would want to manifest, you know, what she said about being an instrument to help others. And that connected with me. So the third step was, well, I'll never forget, I was at my sister's one night and, you know, again, I was in a state of confusion, dizziness, I couldn't eat. And I sat on a chair and I said, have you got a pen and paper? She said, yes. And I started to write out words. And in fact, what I was doing was actually writing a poem. And to this day, or that year and a half, that was the first step in me writing 150 poems. And that third step was about trust, in that trust whatever feeling that is coming through and just follow that. And at that stage, it was writing poetry. And in fact, I even made a publication about it, where I got schools from Asia to give me their drawings, and I matched them with my poems, and it became a cross-cultural project where it created greater understanding between Asia and Australia, and was launched, and it was a very successful project. So the third step was really about trusting what is coming through and not trying to label it, block it, because when we were more open, we're actually allowing the hidden gifts that are inside of us to emerge. And writing was certainly one of those gifts that I had. And had I not gone through this experience, I never would have written those 120 or 150 poems and never would have had a major project, an international project that came out of it. So having trust in the deeper feelings and the signals and running with that is sometimes also a very powerful step to follow. Not necessarily to heal if you're not sick, but certainly to live a far more fulfilling life.
Yeah. How, do you feel you trusted more through, because you surrendered and then you changed your perception and then you started trusting? Does that make you feel more let go and, yeah, pretty much write these poems and become more a bit true to yourself, to see what else you actually had apart from being a successful business person?
Yeah, very, very good question. I think there was a time when a particular message came through to me and it said this. It said, you are now going to live more from the heart than the head. Okay, so like I mentioned earlier, the head is a very poor leader. Your mind can only work with existing concepts, existing knowledge and theories. Your heart actually works on a higher level. So now what I tend to do is work with the feelings and inspirations I have with the heart, and then the head will come and create the structure on how to get there. So the heart comes from pure, unadulterated, untainted messaging, whereas the mind will then organize it to create the manifestation of that. So, yeah, now I tend to not strive. I don't have as much motivation because I understand the natural unfoldment of things. You cannot push them. You cannot force them. And all you can do is guide. And sometimes you've got to get off track. And sometimes you come back to the same track. So it's a timing issue as well. And that, believe me, that's frustrating because, you know, we're all impatient beings. We want it now. But when you actually take notice and observe the journey, you're actually learning every second of the way about yourself and also the world. So, yeah, it's heart first and head second.
Yeah, it's amazing because obviously you've been this business person, which is all about achieving and goals and being super structured. And then discovering this whole different part of you that is such a, sad to have gone through 1.5 years of feeling really bad, but at the same time, though, it's so, yeah, valuable. And what this intuitive feeler said is like when you come out at the other end, you can share this now, you know, and how people feel, that they can resonate with you or feeling, you know, empathy in their own situation, which I think we all need. And it's possibly partly also how we programmed and, you know, getting off the program. And what have been your main lessons, like how do you feel now? What's your lookout on this whole situation that happened?
Well, when you're going through it, you'll do anything just to stop it or avoid it. And when I was going through it, I would have given everything. I would have given away every single asset I had and just kept the shirt on my back if somebody said, I can make you better. But now looking back in hindsight, it was like the university of life was making me go through a particular lesson to actually raise my energy and my consciousness, see life in a different way. And if somebody said, would you change it? Absolutely not. It was probably the most valuable 1.5 years of my entire life. And, in fact, the whole world now has changed for me. So the lesson is when you change, the world changes. You're starting to see the world through different eyes. And people are often trying to change the world, change people, change circumstances. It's actually the wrong way around. When you change your energy and your perception and the way you see the world automatically changes because now you're seeing different aspects of the world that you never saw before. So it's like somebody's changed the movie. It's completely new. It wasn't about striving, achieving anymore. Now it's about, oh, what's the beauty in this? What's the energy that I'm feeling here? Even though this person is angry, they've got a beautiful, compassionate side to them that I never saw before, unless if I was always focused on their anger. So all of a sudden I'm becoming more whole rather than narrow focused with life. And I really feel that life's about stripping away every single program we've had and coming back to our core, which already knows how to live a fulfilled and satisfying life. It's just that the only thing between that and me achieving it is my mind. It gets in the way, you know?
Yeah. Why do you think the mind gets in the way?
Why? Because that's its job. That's the only thing it's used to. We get caught up in a routine of thinking 24/7 and we think that's life. No, that's just imaginary thoughts and concepts that are spinning in your head. Life is what's around you. You see, there's one important thing I think we should all understand, and this is what hit me about 2 years ago. You know, life has no meaning. Absolutely, it's neutral. The only meaning life has is the meaning I give it.
Mm.
So I can see this conversation that we're having as interesting. I can see it as exciting. I can see it as mundane. Who's actually applied that meaning? Lena hasn't. The computer hasn't. I have.
Mm.
So that's what life is. What meaning are you applying to your life? And I actually have control of that. So if you want to live a life of happiness, then start to see the joy in everything that you do. If you want a life of opportunity, then you'll see the opportunities in life. You see, we are the master creators and we forget that, but our mind keeps interrupting on old thought patterns, mm-hmm. on old belief systems, and it comes in and crowds it. It's only when you're open and say, what do I want to get out of my day today? What do I want to get out of my life? And then the movie will change. It will present to you. It's like a mirror. What you send out will get reflected back to you. And it's amazing. You know, when I walk down the street and I'm in a bad mood, everyone will give me a bad look. When I'm naturally in a good mood, I don't have to say anything. People will say hello, they'll come up, they'll talk to me. It's all about energy. What is the energy that you're giving out? That's what's going to come back. And it's hard because we can't see or touch it. And that's why people find it difficult.
Yeah, it's hard to grasp on a mind level.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so if you get up in the morning and you have like, you feel all these bad feelings about, you know, whatever, that you have all these things, I need to do this, I need to do that, and now I feel shit about myself, and what could you say someone can cheer up their own lives when they get up in the morning, lying in bed, having already the smartphone in their hand and thinking all the negative thoughts on earth?
Well, I think the first thing is to know that you create your reality. I think that depending on your thoughts and what you want to see in the world, that's what's going to come back. So take back your power. Don't think the world has got control of you or other people or circumstances or events. Remember, it's not what happens to you, it's how you respond to it. So take back your power. That's the first thing, knowing that you are in fact in control of the way you feel, the way you think, and the way you act. Because that means that you become a master now and not the victim. Because when you're a victim, then you're pushed from one end of the spectrum to the other. You're up, you're down, you're sideways. One minute you're happy, next minute you're sad. One minute you're angry, next minute you're peaceful. So I think that's the first thing. Plan the day that you want. It might simply be, today I'm only going to think of my positive thoughts and qualities about me. What do I like about myself? And focus on that. Create that feeling of joy. And just follow your joy, whatever that might be. It might be even cooking. It might be writing something. It might be going for a walk. It might be ringing a friend. Because that feeling of excitement and joy is at a higher vibration than the feelings of criticism, anger, jealousy, what am I going to experience today? So once you're in that higher energy, then you're actually in a better state of mind. It's actually chemically positive for your body, because stress and anger, as we know, the body releases chemicals that in fact can cause all sorts of sickness and disease. So I would say the main thing is know that you're the master and create the day that you want. Very simple. This is not difficult, complicated stuff. Take your power back. Don't give it to people, circumstances, or events. I'm in charge of me, and that's the way I live my life.
Yeah, that's so good. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, is there, I think it has been such a really clear interview with you. Is there anything I haven't asked you you would like to share, you know, that you think is of importance?
I think just be easy on yourself. You know, in today's world, it's very much focused on competing and comparing with others. And, you know, we're all unique beings. We all have something unique to offer the world. And just be comfortable in your own skin. Stand in your own shoes. And just follow your joy. Follow your, I mean, we overuse this word passion, but people often say, well, how do I get my passion? Well, don't stress over that. Just follow what excites you. And it could be simple things. And that'll slowly lead to, you know, other things. But, yeah, competing, comparing, I think, is something that is a never-ending battle. Learn to appreciate your own qualities. Find out what you value in your life. And it could be you might value building a business, creating something, or family life, or, you know, interacting with friends, or, you know, it might be counselling. It doesn't matter. Find out what you value. And then prioritize your life around those values, because that means you're then following something that has meaning and purpose in you. And that's when your confidence goes up. And that's when you live a life of joy, not a life to please others, not a life to live up to others' expectations, and not a life to compare or compete. You're coming back to you. And that's when you're going to be most fulfilled. You won't find it in things, people, or events. They're empty. They're changing. You'll find it in yourself. And you must connect with what is most valuable for you. And once you do, then life changes. You're more stable. You're in a state of equilibrium. You're in a state of greater joy. And then further opportunities open. It's quite amazing, but very simple, not difficult.
Mm. Yeah, it's like I might just want to add a few sentences, because I have been obviously also on this journey, and I think it's sometimes really good. You know, it sometimes has been difficult to listen to my own self, and or I have listened and then, but then push through this and pretty much go for what you're feel and what your intuition is and what you feel like, even without the knowing what's coming out of it, you know. And I remember I desperately wanted to walk the Camino de Santiago like 15 years ago, and I remember I had to go there, and then my family and friends were calling me and they're like, where are you? And I'm like, oh, I just went to Spain, I'm on the Camino de Santiago. Because I felt like before that, I was so small that I felt like one person had so much power over me to tell me what a shit idea this was and how dangerous this was and what's if someone's going to kill me on that journey and whatnot, you know. And I gathered all the information I needed, whether I was safe as a woman, you know, because I think that is important to know, specifically because I was younger. And then I did it, you know, and I just did it. And I have been so connected to this Camino de Santiago in Spain and to Spain. And I have met so many awesome people. And it was like the best journey of my life that had healed me and was so my path on like walking all day and, you know, digesting also the difficulties that I had in my own self, like making decisions, what I was doing after uni and whatnot. And I think I just wanted to share this because it's that's why I also connect to the topic that you're talking about, because I felt the same thing. And I think like what I want to add is that once what you just explained before, once you go back into yourself and you really feel and you listen to an impulse that you're getting out of your own heart that feels somehow good, it's good to, if you're uncertain, let's say if you start a business or you go to the Camino, it's still good to gather some information.
Sure.
But it's still good to kind of follow that little call in you and discover this and, look into it. And then so many other things happen. And I feel like I've become so much more pretty much valuable for my own self, you know, maybe also for others. But I mean, like the most important thing was coming out of my own shell, my own belief system and where I was holding myself back. And I think if I would have not listened to this, I would have been exactly where you have been. I would have been so broken down and so psychologically unstable. I just deep in myself know it, that this would have been the way I would have been if I would have stayed where I was. And I just wanted to share that because also how to understand where maybe the connection between you and me and this conversation is. And also to encourage everyone, because as difficult as it can be, it's such of importance, because even if it's a stupid sentence, but life is in fact so short.
It is.
That it is so important to discover these things and coming off the whole system thoughts on what you all have to do and stress and achievements, and that in the end of the day, it's valid. What you not have done and tried, that's possibly you regretting the most compared to even if you would have failed at it. I think sometimes the sentence I've read 20 years ago and I'm like, but now when I read them, I'm like, yeah, they have so much truth in them, you know.
Very true. Yeah. And what you said is a classic example of, and I'll never forget a quote I heard once, is when the voice on the inside is louder than the voices on the outside, that's when you're going to follow your truth. So it's a beautiful quote.
Yeah. Amazing. Is there, do you have like something that you want to share with the world, like something that is an important message from your heart to maybe people that listen that go through the same things you've been through, or something that, you know, I mean, you shared so much valid content already that I think it's the whole interview is so nurturing and wholesome, you know, and there's so much truth and value in this, but maybe just some things that, you know, out of all your life and everything you've discovered about yourself, you can just something you just want to maybe share.
Yeah, a lot of people are going through a lot of difficult situations and everyone's carrying their own cross, but again, the intensity and the pain of that cross is really dependent on how you see it, and maybe training yourself to see the gift in every storm. What is this teaching me? How is this benefiting me? And just sitting with that and knowing that that is there for your ultimate good, because there is an imbalance. And when there's an imbalance, then there's going to be a message from your body or the world to put you out of balance so that you can come back to equilibrium. So during that period of suffering and pain, try to see the gift in the storm and lighten the load. And I think you'll really get the benefits, perhaps in hindsight, but sometimes even during that particular experience. So, yeah, just to find the best in the worst things that happen And that's that takes practice, but believe me, it is fact. What you see is what you experience, and you can change a burden into an amazing opportunity, a suffering into a joy, because you know that it's there to help and benefit you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for this
pleasure.
Time we shared, and for your wisdom and knowledge you shared. Thank you very much, Anthony. And I will, I know you're sending out a beautiful newsletter every month. So I might just, if you want, I can add your details in the show notes. Maybe people want to receive a newsletter from you, or of course, if you want to connect with people or be in contact, I'll leave this up to you, whatever you like. But I really feel these newsletters are lovely, because they having all some good thoughts and some impulses on, you know, thinking about your own self, and I enjoy them.
No, thank you for the interview, and I think these sorts of little interviews are great, because, you know, they're sharing wisdom, and that's all we're doing is sharing wisdom, and each piece of wisdom can help another. And I think it's great the way you extract the wisdom out of the particular people you're interviewing, and there's an art in that as well. So well done, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lena.
Thank you.
See you. Bye-bye.
See you. Bye.